Folks, Field of Greens is the healthiest thing I do every day, and I want you on this journey with me. Why? It's literally one scoop a day. It tastes great. I love the fruit flavors particularly, and it's completely improved my life and my health. This is nutrition the way nature intended. When I began taking a hard look at why I wasn't feeling good and why I felt unhealthy, why I was gaining weight, why I was losing energy, it wasn't just because I had hit my 50s. No, it was because I wasn't getting the right amount of fruit and vegetables in my diet. And listen, I'm just too busy to go to the store, clean up the vegetables, cook vegetable dinners, and make sure I hit the fruit. A Field of Greens stepped in. One scoop of powder in my drink or on my eggs in the morning, and boom, I was off and feeling better. And suddenly, I was losing weight. I was sleeping better. My metabolism went up. My blood sugar went down. My cholesterol went down, and my weight went down. And my doctor said, hey, whatever you're doing, keep it doing. You know what that is? It's Field of Greens. That's what I've been doing. Field of Greens is radically different. Each organic fruit and vegetable was medically chosen to support heart and vital organ health. I trust Field of Greens to keep me healthy. I promise you, you're going to love this product. But if for any reason you don't, they'll give you 100% money back guarantee. Now, you're going to get 15% off your first order, plus free rush shipping because of the incredible partnership we have here at Just the News with Brick House Nutrition, and of course, Field of Greens. All you got to do to take advantage of this offer, visit fieldofgreens.com and use the promo code JustNews. That's promo code JustNews at fieldofgreens.com. Don't wait. Go to fieldofgreens.com today. Use the promo code JustNews for 15% off. Hello, America, and happy Thursday. We've got a great show for you today. I've been thinking about all of the conversations we've had the last few years. On a daily basis, we continue to learn a lot about what we were lied to by the Biden family, about all the things the Biden family told us to get elected in 2020 that weren't true. They didn't get money from China. They did. Joe didn't meet with the partners. He did. Joe didn't know anything about the businesses. He did. It just keeps coming into closer and closer and closer understanding of just how deceptive the Biden campaign was. What they called conspiracy theories were true, and what they called true were falsehoods. And today, we're going to spend the first part of this show dissecting that again. And we're going to do it in light of some new documents and some new testimony from one of Hunter Biden's former business partners, now in prison, Jason Galanis. We've done some stories on him. We've talked about him on this podcast. But there are three new documents that Galanis provided the impeachment inquiry. Remarkably, impeachment inquiry hasn't made it public yet. I don't know why. But we've got them here at Just the News. And Stephen Richards and I here at Just the News have a big story out this morning exposing what they say. But they're documents that make clear, I think, in a really significant way, that the Biden family understood the reason why people were investing was they felt like they were getting access to the Biden family, to the sitting vice president. And I find that not surprising at all based on my reporting, but when you compare it to what the American people were assured wasn't going on, we now know for sure that we were not being told the truth in 2020. And the Biden family and its partners knew we weren't being told the truth, not just about the laptop. They called that Russian disinformation. It was not just that they didn't get China money. They knew in great detail that it was access they were selling. And I'll just give you a couple of quick examples. There's a email, Henry Zhao. He's the owner of Harvest Fund Management. That was the first of the two China ventures that Hunter Biden team was trying to close with Burnham Capital. Hunter Biden was interested in a partnership for sure, because what the emails say is that Henry Zhao, the guy that was the Chinese business guy trying to get involved, that the interest was, the reason he was interested in getting involved is because of the access that the firm could provide him rather than the primary financial gains he could gain from. How do we know that? There's a punch list in this email, and it highlighted Zhao's motivations, Henry Zhao. And one of those, let me just read you this line. During yesterday's meeting, Hunter underlined the value of being cautiously conservative in valuation, as Henry Zhao believes in this first and foremost as an access vehicle with potential for future growth. Basically getting this company access in the United States. Pretty clear, right? And there are other ones just like this. Well, today, Mark Paoletta, who represents Jason Galanis, he's the lawyer. He's the one who helped dig up these emails for Congress, helped Jason Galanis testify to Congress. By the way, Galanis has been invited to testify in public. He's going to talk to us about why the word access was so important, what it meant to Galanis, what it meant to Hunter Biden, what it meant to Devin Archer. In Galanis' open statement, he says very clearly, Henry Zhao was interested in this partnership because of the game-changing value add of the Biden family, including Joe Biden, who was to be a member of the Burnham Harvest team post-vice presidency after he wasn't in office anymore. That's pretty important stuff, right? Just think about that and listen to that. Well, at the first part of this show, we're going to have Mark Paoletta talk about that. He'll also talk about some of the things he's done to defend Clarence Thomas, the Supreme Court Justice, who's always under attack from Democrats and increasingly the Biden White House. There's an interesting boomerang in those attacks, and Mark Paoletta is going to bring us up to speed that. In the second segment, we're going to talk to Ron Johnson, the senator who did the first investigation of Hunter Biden. All the impeachment is based on his great work, along with Senator Grassley. He'll dial in these allegations of him at selling access to a vice president for millions of dollars. That's what we now know to be the truth of the Biden family operation. And then in the third block, it is always a great honor of mine to talk to Amber Duke, formerly known as Amber Athey. Amber is, I think, one of the most astute media critics in the country, and she's going to walk us through some of the news media's worst moments of the last couple of weeks, including on Hunter Biden, but also on so many other issues. She's always, I think, one of the most honest brokers in evaluating the rights and wrongs, the failures and the successes of the legacy media. Amber Duke, one of my good friends, and she'll round out our conversation today. That's a great show, right? Mark Paoletta, some new revelations on the Hunter Biden family schemes, Senator Ron Johnson, and then Amber Duke back to back to back. Now, before we get to that, a big shout out to a couple of our partners. As you know, Brickhouse Nutrition is one of my favorite partners in making my work to get healthier. And I use Field of Greens religiously for the last year, and it's helped me lose weight, get my blood sugars down, my cholesterol down, get my heart rate down, my blood pressure down. They also have some new products, and I really am excited about this new product because for those of us who struggle to keep weight off, Lean is a brand new Brickhouse Nutrition product, and it has been shown to help maintain healthy blood sugar levels, help optimize metabolism, keep your appetite under control, and those three outcomes are formulated to create weight loss. It is Lean, this new weight loss supplement that Brickhouse Nutrition has put out there. It is built on the notion that we all have stress in our life, right? We all are busy. We don't have time to think about doing all the things we need to do to get healthy. And when you have stress, you feel hungrier all the time. You've got the munchies. You don't lose weight. And Lean is designed, along with a healthy diet and exercise, to make sure that you get to that healthy weight. You get rid of those munchies and get rid of the blood sugar levels and the cholesterol that harm your ability to have a healthy body. And so Brickhouse Nutrition has been a partner with us from the very beginning of this great adventure. And they have a 15% off special offer with free shipping. If you want to try Lean and see if it helps boost that appetite reduction, help boost that weight loss, all you do is you go to takelean.com, take Lean, L-E-A-N, takelean.com, enter the promo code JustNews15. JustNews15 is going to get you 15% off. One more time, takelean.com, use the promo code JustNews15. All right, folks, we're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, Mark Paoletta with explosive new revelations about what the Hunter Biden documents really say about the family's motives. We'll have that right after these messages. Folks, if you owe back taxes, fair warning, you're not going to like this. The IRS is mailing millions of pay-up letters. Millions, I say. Then it's up to the 20,000 new IRS enforcement agents to find you. Why the IRS targets you and not millionaires? Well, because millionaires have tax lawyers. You don't. You'll pay up. Plus interest and penalties. You need Tax Network USA, and you need them now. Tax Network USA has brilliant war room strategies to solve your IRS problems quickly and in your favor. Like a preferred direct line to the IRS, they know which agents to deal with and who to avoid. It's not all bad news for you because Tax Network USA learned of a special limited time IRS offer. They're willing to waive $1 billion in penalties if you qualify. So schedule your free confidential consultation to see if you qualify for this limited time IRS penalty canceling offer. To do so, call 1-800-245-6000. That's 1-800-245-6000 or visit tnusa.com/justnews. That's tnusa.com/justnews.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
All right, folks, welcome back for the commercial break. If you were on Just the News earlier this week, you saw, well, I think, a really important story about another Ukrainian oligarch that Hunter Biden tried to help out. This one, perhaps more shocking even than the oligarch who was in charge of Burisma, a company deemed corrupt by the Obama-Biden State Department. This oligarch was indicted by the Obama-Biden Justice Department. And within a few months of him being indicted, this is Dmitry Firtash, Hunter Biden's on the other side of the transaction, trying to talk to Dmitry Firtash's right-hand man, a guy named Haris Yosef, and trying to suggest that if you pay me $5 million, I might be able to quash the indictment. I might be able to make the indictment my dad's own administration brought. It is one of the most extraordinary and really brazen attempts at influence peddling that I've seen in the Hunter Biden case. It's getting a lot of attention. All of that came compliments of what I think is one of the most consequential witnesses in the impeachment inquiry thus far. Jason Galanis was a former business partner of Hunter Biden. He's in prison right now. He was one of those business partners that got indicted in the tribal scheme that Devin Archer also was indicted for. But he came in and he deconstructed a lot of the defenses in the Democrats' shifting narrative. For a long time, it was nothing happened. Then, oh yeah, all these things happened, but Joe Biden, yeah, he had conversations, but he never talked business. Jason Galanis came in a couple of weeks ago in a jailhouse interview and he blew all of those defenses away. We're very lucky to be joined by Jason Galanis' lawyer, who, by the way, is such an impactful player. I've known him since my days in Connecticut growing up. I think we might have even played baseball together at some point, but he is one of the most consequential lawyers, about twice been in the White House counsel's office for Presidents Bush and Trump, and really one of the most influential lawyers in all of Washington, my good friend, Mark Paoletta. Mark, great to have you on the show today.
John, thanks for having me. Good to be talking to you.
I love all the work you do. I see your name pop up so many times, whether it's with Clarence Thomas, whether it's with the impeachment inquiry, whether it's important historic cases that are settling freedom in America. But Jason Galanis really feels to me like one of the most important witnesses in this case. Everybody came in and the Democrats figured, okay, there's the evidence. We're going to have to shift the narrative. But we're going to come up with this new story. All right, Joe Biden did really meet with all these guys. We never talked business. And Jason Galanis comes in and just breaks that glass on the floor. Tell us the big narrative that Jason Galanis was able to deliver to Congress.
Sure. So Jason Galanis was a business partner of Hunter Biden and Devin Archer. So he's a real-time participant back in 2012 to about 2015. And As what he shows is that, as he says, the entire value add of Hunter Biden to our business is what he testified before the committee a couple weeks ago, two Fridays ago, was his family name and his access to his father, Vice President Joe Biden. That's the only reason, you know, Hunter Biden was involved with these deals. That's what he brought. And what you see, as he described, and you're right, John, is this idea that, you know, the storyline that was shifting as witnesses came forward, that Joe Biden didn't talk business with his son, Hunter Biden didn't involve his father in business. That's just a lie, right? And what Jason testified to is, in one example, they were just doing a lot of deals together. We can talk about that in more detail, but Yelena Batarina, who's a Russian oligarch, was an investor with Devin in Rosemont Realty to the tune of about $120 million, and they were working her to get more investment. She wanted to open up a U.S. bank account, as Jason talked about, so she would have flight capital in case it was taken in Russia. She wanted to set something up in the U.S. And Jason was assigned as part of this team to try and open up some bank accounts for her. And in the course of all this, he got to know her and ends up at a party for one of her associates, one of their colleagues, Alex Kotlarski, in Brooklyn, and Hunter is there. Hunter shows up at this party. It's on Hunter's. You can go to, you know, the Biden emails and see the laptop and see his file that says he's going to be at this party on May 4th, 2014, in Brooklyn at a restaurant called Romanoff's. That's where Jason is. That's where Devin Archer is. That's where Batarina and her husband, the former mayor of Moscow, show up. And at one point, and Jason testifies that he saw Hunter and Yelena Batorina talking business. He was at the same table, didn't listen in hard, but he knew it was business related. At some point, Hunter says, "Let's go over into the foyer so it's a little less noisy." It was a pretty loud party. And he calls his father. He calls out to Joe Biden and says, "Hey, Dad." And he puts it on speaker. He says, "Hey, Dad, I'm here with the friends I told you were coming into town." And Joe Biden says, "Oh, great. Hello." Yelena Batorina says, "Hello to the vice president. Hope you had safe travels." And it sounds like he wanted to kind of cut the, this according to Jason, you know, sort of say hello, do that sort of thing, right? Showing the access and then close off the call. And he said, you take good care of my boy. And then Hunter says something like, things are moving along well, things are good, moving along. And the vice president says something about being helpful. And so what this shows, right, it destroys, as you just said, all the fences, all the narratives that the Democrats have been trying to create, which is, A, this was not Joe Biden calling in, you know, happenstance into a meeting of Hunter that he's having with foreign investors. It's actually Hunter calling out with people with him. It's a specific purpose. It's clear from Jason's testimony, his recollection that Joe Biden knew this call was coming, knew who was there. And what happens? This is on May 4th, 2014. On May 9th, there's an email that shows that Yelena Batorina has made a hard commit of $10 to $20 million in a new project that Devin and what I'll call the Burnham Company, which Hunter is involved with and Jason is involved with. It's a kind of a financial platform, and she's going to invest some money in that. So you see the what I'll call priming the pump, access to the vice president with this call, a commitment of $10 to $20 million. Certainly five days later, it's reflected in an email. You also see there was a project they were involved with, which was to have this Burnham company, which is the legacy firm from Drexel Burnham Lambert. When that blew up, Burnham and Company was a legacy sort of Wall Street firm. That's what they were taking control of, and then wanted to build out and roll up companies into that. And one of the projects was to create a partnership with this gigantic Chinese company that had strong ties to the Communist Party called Harvest, which is run by Henry Zhao. And it's been described as the Fidelity of China. And the entire sort of project there was that Joe Biden, who was then vice president, would join the board of Harvest. And that's what they kept dangling in front of Harvest as they were putting together this partnership, which would have like a U.S. base with Burnham and then a Chinese, sort of platform. And you see lots of communications and email where Hunter is going back and forth with Henry Zhao. You know, Jason's produced these emails. And there is an email, a draft email that was produced by Jason. And this is, it was written for Hunter to send to one of his contacts to sort of communicate with Henry Zhao, the head of Harvest, that says, "Please also remind Henry of our conversation about a board seat for a certain relation of mine. Devin and I golfed with that relation earlier last week, and we discussed this very idea again. And as always, he remains very, very keen on the opportunity." Okay, so Devin Archer sent this draft email to Jason Galanis. As you can see from that text or hear from that text, Devin was part of that golf, outing and part of that conversation. And he sends it along to Jason, sort of affirming the contents of it. That email, John, was written on August 23rd, which is a few days after that legendary, infamous photo of the vice president being on the golf course with Devin and Hunter up at the Hamptons. And so it matches up perfectly with the golf match and this email. And clearly, right, that's showing now that Joe Biden was involved. He was interested in helping his son with his business opportunities, was interested as vice president and knowing this is going to be communicated to the Chinese company that he would go on their board. So it's exploding all of these things of Joe Biden not being involved with his son's business, not being just happenstance calling into his son to check on him. This is, you know, showing that the Bidens were working with one another, the vice president and his son, to develop business opportunities.
Yeah, and it really, as a result of Jason Galanis, it's after the Jason Galanis transcribed interview that for the first time Comer comes out, James Comer came out on my show, it was about a week ago, saying, there is not any doubt in my mind anymore that Joe Biden was the closer, that Hunter Biden would set up these deals with his partners, people like Devin and Jason. But at the end of the day, it wasn't until Joe Biden signaled in some way he was involved or supportive or take care of my son, whatever it is, that a lot of this money flows. And there's this pattern now where you see a Biden meeting and then a transaction close, a Biden meeting, a Joe Biden meeting or contact, transaction close. That's how significant Jason Galanis' testimony was to the narrative. It's a much different narrative now as a result of what he delivered.
Yeah, and he also was present at a phone call where the vice president did call in. It was at the Peninsula Bar in New York City, and Devin Archer's there, and Hunter Biden's there, and he's clearly talking to his father. He only hears one side of this call because it's not on speaker. But Hunter is talking to him about the Burnham Harvest deal and trying to get it across the finish line. And so I think you're right. It's Jason as a real-time witness, eyewitness to the way this is being shaped. And he talks about how all the conversations with the Biden lift, it was the Biden access, it was all of this stuff was kind of suffused into their business, you know, operating, style, that this was an access thing. In fact, there's an email that Jason produced, which is, there was a large meeting where they were going to make this pitch to Harvest. And Hunter says, somebody's recounting what Hunter said, which is that Henry primarily views this partnership as an access partnership, right? And so it's clear, this is from another person, you know, commenting on what Hunter was saying in this meeting, that they're viewing this as an access, Joe Biden access. This is not, you know, the financial, you know, wherewithal of this Burnham company, you know, talented guys, to be sure. But it's really the fact that it's Joe Biden who's involved, the Biden name, the Biden family, that's going to help develop business and make money for these guys. And as Jason said, first thing out of his, what he says is, our goal was to make billions, not millions.
Yeah, the ambitions were huge. And the people they were making their money off were often people in adversarial countries to the United States or people that had bad reputations with the U.S. government. And two of them, obviously, are Burisma. We know all about that now. But State Department considered it a crep company. The Justice Department considered it a crep company. And then Hunter Biden joins the board, and they spend a lot of time trying to convince people it's not corrupt anymore. The second one is perhaps the most interesting to people. I think of all the things that came out of the Jason Galanis interview, the one that got the most bounce, the most attention on our website, just people engaging and say, oh my gosh, I had no idea, is the case of Dmitry Firtash, an oligarch that's indicted in 2014, allegedly for a bribery scheme involving India. It's unusual because none of the transactions involve the United States, but they indict this guy. It's the Obama-Biden Justice Department. And not a year later, even shorter than a year later, all of a sudden Hunter Biden is involved in these discussions to represent Dmitry Firtash and try to make the very indictment his father's administration put on this guy go away. I think they use the word quash. Tell us a little bit why this is one of the more unseemly transactions that you see Hunter Biden in. It's just almost unthinkable. Father indicts, son tries to make a law career off of unindicting him.
Yes, it is interesting. I think if you look in Hunter Biden's transcript, he refers disparagingly to Dmitry Firtash as one of the bad guys or something like that. And yet he wasn't asked about this in his deposition or his interview with the committee, but he was paid a success fee. As you said, Harris Youssef had, as I understand it, according to Jason, you know, sent $5 million to Hunter Biden's law firm for the purposes of paying Hunter a success fee to influence or attempt to quash the indictment of Dmitry Firtash. And it turns out that Hunter doesn't perform. Harris Youssef is very upset about this. And at some point, a lot of the money comes back out and goes into another vehicle that Jason and Devin are involved with called Emblem, which is kind of it's an investment vehicle out of, I think, Hawaii. But what he says is that about near $300,000 of that money, of the $3 million that comes out from the original five, goes over to Rosemont Seneca Bohai, which is the entity that Hunter Biden is a co-owner of with Devin Archer. So this is Dmitry Firtash money that is moving around here. That's what your audience should focus on, is that this is a oligarch's money that was coming in to pay Hunter Biden to quash this indictment. If he's not successful, whatever happens, Jason's unclear, but all he knows is he wasn't performing, and the money comes back out, or some of the money comes back out, goes into this other entity, and close to 300,000 of that, I think it's 275 or something like that, ends up in Rosemont Seneca Bohai.
We have the actual bank records that the FBI sees from that account, and we can confirm that payment as we had done in 2021.
Yeah, you did some great reporting on that, John. You did some great reporting, a couple years ago, several years ago.
What it really reminds us is that in Jason Galanis's testimony, nearly everything he said has contemporary evidence backing him up. It really is a very documented story. Whereas Hunter Biden is, you got to trust Hunter Biden's word because you don't have anything to back it up. There are just really significant things. And I think you're right. When you get a chance, when people get a chance to see that email and they realize the Chinese were trying to buy access to Joe Biden, that is such an extraordinary thing. That's exactly why this scandal began. And for most of the last 5 years, the Biden family has told us, oh, that's a conspiracy theory. It is no conspiracy theory. It is backed by paper, by contemporaneous eyewitness accounts. And I think that's what made Jason Galanis such an important witness. His story is corroborated with the evidence. Joe and Hunter Biden have had their story changed 20 times. Jason Galanis matches all of the contemporaneous evidence. I want to pivot real quickly to just what's next in the impeachment inquiry. It's clear there's going to be a public hearing. How important will it be for James Comer, Jim Jordan, others to confront Hunter Biden with what now we know Jason Galanis's account is? And not only his account, his documents prove it. I mean, imagine Hunter Biden being confronted with the check from the Firtash money. Imagine Hunter Biden being confronted by that email saying they're buying into access to Joe Biden. Jason Galanis could be a very important impeachment witness during open hearings, right?
Yeah, I think Chairman Comer, Chairman Jordan have been doing a terrific job with a lot of resistance from the Biden world, if you will. And I think as Comer said, and Jordan, they're going to look at public hearings. And I've said Jason Galanis is more than happy to testify publicly at any of those hearings. I think public hearings, I was up on the Hill for 10 years. I did 200 investigative hearings. You know, there's the fact finding part, and then there's the public hearing part. And, you know, and I went through a confirmation process with Justice Thomas, Justice Clarence Thomas. And you saw what was so, it was a circus, right? But with the Anita Hill testimony, but the American people got to see, right, somebody testify and make a decision. They're a liar. They're not telling the truth. And that's what's going to happen here. And that's why it's so important. Let the American people see Hunter Biden testify publicly, right, to assess his credibility when he says this didn't happen or this didn't happen or this or that. It's a way for the American people to see, like, whether this guy is telling the truth or not. And so I think it's very important. I think they will confront Hunter Biden with the emails, with facts, with testimony about you saw this happen with James Biden, him talking about how, again, matching up with this Harvest project, dangling the idea that Joe Biden would go on the board of AmeriCorps. And James Biden says, no, that never happened. There's three different people who say it from the company. Plus, there's an email that literally says it. And he still says, oh, no, I never talked business with my brother. No, I never talked about a board. Okay, you can say that in a deposition. You're collecting the evidence. Let's say that live on TV, right, where people can assess, that's crazy, right? That just doesn't add up. Of course, that's what was dangled. That's what was talked about. Same thing here. You're going to see this email, which says that I talked to my certain relation of mine, You know, Jason was told about that conversation at the time. So he will say it is Joe Biden. That's the way they, you know, would refer to the vice president. We've heard these things before, and, you know, not seeing the vice president, his name. But a certain relation of mine is Joe Biden. There's an email on it. It matches up with this golf match. And so people will get to assess the credibility, you know, in a public hearing of Hunter Biden. Of course, the Democrats, their entire job, right, is to protect and be the defense counsel to Joe Biden and Hunter Biden. So they will attack whatever witness comes and testifies, and that will be expected. But, you know, Jason Galanis will be ready if the committee, you know, chooses him to testify in a public hearing.
Yeah, I encourage everyone to go read his transcript. We've put it up. It is, to me, one of the most important documents in this impeachment inquiry. By the way, it's backed up by what Devin Archer says and what the emails show, but it's one of the most comprehensive looks at just how the Biden family operated, how they sold the name, how they sold the access.
And I'll say one more thing on Jason. You know, Jason, he believes that, you know, he was eligible for what was called home confinement under the CARES Act, and he believes he was retaliated against and kept in and not released. So he would be kind of stuck in prison and much harder to talk to congressional investigators.
House Judiciary, by the way, opened an investigation into that now. They asked for records last night. We broke that story last night.
That's exactly right, John. And he was also sexually assaulted by a correctional officer in Pensacola. He was in Pensacola prison camp. When Jason brought those items up, particularly the sexual assault and sexual harassment by a correctional officer, the Democrats didn't ask a single question about that, when Jason brought it up. So I'm grateful that the committee, you know, Mr. Jordan, Comer, and Biggs did start an investigation last night on both of those items, the retaliation against him on the CARES Act, and also being sexually assaulted, sexually harassed. It's very clear it happened. He was transferred within 2 hours of bringing it to the attention of the warden in Pensacola. So, I think the Bureau of Prisons has a lot of explaining to do, and I'm glad the committee's looking at it. They've asked for documents. They've asked for, information about what happened on both of those matters.
Yeah, really, really important stuff. Mark, we just got a few minutes left. I want to turn to another subject that you really are a true subject expert, going all the way back to 1991 when Clarence Thomas was confirmed. You played a big role in that as a White House lawyer, shepherding his nomination. You've written an incredible book, Created Equal, which takes some of the most important moments in Clarence Thomas' career and also his thinking, his optimism about this country, turned it into an amazing book that people can get on Amazon. There is this extraordinary, I think Clarence Thomas lives rent-free in Joe Biden and the Biden White House's head. You see that he's always on their mind. He's their favorite boogeyman. But lately, they've been slinging a lot of things at him about, oh, he likes to take vacations with donors. I think, doesn't Joe Biden do this like on a regular basis? Isn't he like the mansion man of all presidents? He's always at some rich guy's mansion vacationing, right?
Yeah, it's really despicable what the Democrats, the left, has been doing to Justice Thomas. He's our greatest living American. He's our greatest justice. He's the most influential justice in modern times, and even probably longer back than that. Everything that's happening on the Supreme Court is because of Clarence Thomas, in terms of the embracing originalism, bringing the court back on all of these big issues. He's been the leader of the trailblazer for 33 years. He's been on the court on this ridiculous ethics thing and attacking Justice Thomas on that. I've written a lot. I go to marktayaletta.com in terms of, I've written probably 50 op-eds and done a lot of appearances showing why Justice Thomas has complied with the rules and the ethics rules and everything in that regard. He goes on vacation with his friends. He stays at their homes up in the Adirondacks. These are summer homes. These are his friends. That is entirely different than what Joe Biden does. Joe Biden takes over donors' homes. Basically, I want to kick them out, but they are not there. He's not visiting friends. He's taking over $20 million mansions down in Kiowa Island, where he stayed three times, down in St. Croix, where he has stayed six times, which is a VRBO, okay, that his family takes over for a week or more and lives. He doesn't disclose it, and he doesn't pay for it. He stays at David Rubenstein's place up in Nantucket. It's a $36 million mansion which he stayed. He used to rent it out. It's not David Rubenstein's like place where he lives. I think he's there like 12 days a year, but he gives it to the Bidens. Again, it's not personal hospitality as that exception is understood. And I think there may be some, I'm hopeful people will look into that a little bit more. Even left-wing ethics people say that Joe Biden is breaking the law in the way he conducts himself in staying at these mansions that are not his friends, right? That he doesn't pay for and that he doesn't disclose. Entirely different than what Justice Thomas does in his relationship with his real friends.
Yeah. Well, listen, if you're a family that feels comfortable shaking down a Ukrainian oligarch because he just got indicted by your dad, hey, give me $5 million. Maybe I can make it go away. I guess maybe your ethics are a little clouded to begin with. I think people see the pattern that the Biden family has practiced for 2 decades. They have traded on Joe Biden's public service for cash and oftentimes preyed on people that were at the mercy of Joe Biden's policy decisions. And your contribution to helping us understand that, Mark, is so great, whether representing Jason Glanis, writing those great columns, defending Justice Clarence Thomas. We are so grateful that you made us a lot smarter with your great work.
Well, thanks for having me on, John. And on X, I'm on, at Mark Paoletta. So I tweet a lot on both these things.
I follow you, and I recommend everybody follow you, because I think you bring up some of the you have a way of perceiving what's going on in Washington that catches things before other people do. Your Twitter feed, I think, one of the most important to follow in this town. What a great honor to have you on today. I really appreciate the time.
Thanks, John. Thanks for all your work.
I love what I do, as you know. I love what I do. So, all right, folks, don't go anywhere. Ron Johnson, up next.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Welcome back, America. Our next guest, well, he probably knows more than anyone about Hunter Biden and the influence peddling scheme. He was the first to investigate it in 2019 and 2020. His 2020 report with Senator Grassley, one of the roadmaps that led to the impeachment that we're all witnessing today. He is Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson, and he joins us right now. Senator, great to have you on the show.
Well, John, I dispute that. I think you know more.
But, we'll get a good game over beer one day. We'll see. We'll play Hunter Biden trivia. It'll be fun. I want to start with something that we mentioned at the top of the show. There are three new emails that Jason Galan has turned over. In all three emails, the business partners of Hunter Biden said out loud the unspoken, which is the Chinese are investigating us because they want to play an access game. They want access to the Biden family. They want an access vehicle. I think it was one of the quotes. For the longest time, Joe Biden and Hunter Biden said no China money, no access. We weren't selling access. It's in writing. How damning is this for everyday Americans? Do you think everyday Americans are beginning to get a sense of what the Biden family was selling?
Again, to me, this has been so obvious for so long. So I guess we have a more detailed acknowledgement of that fact. But I mean, what else were James Biden and Hunter Biden and you know all the Bidens selling? They didn't have any skills. They weren't providing any service. They were selling access. They were grifters. And again, to me, it's completely obvious. I think Senator Grassley and I laid out all the inflows. I appreciate what Chairman Comer and Chairman Jordan are doing in terms of getting more information, subpoenaing records, you know, getting these types of emails that, again, just fill in more piece of the puzzle. But we've known this is a picture of a grift of corruption for quite some time.
Yep. Yeah, that's for
sure. Absolutely. Well, and each time we hear or see more testimony, they just kind of reconfirm what we already know, which is this influence peddling, the elite capture. And one of the things that I think the American people distill down to the most important aspect of that would be policy change. We know that that happened with respect to Ukraine and their prosecutor general. With respect to China, though, have you seen that manifest policy change play out under Joe Biden because of these relationships? I mean, there have been a serious heightening of provocations towards Taiwan. Do you think that it's played out in policy?
Well, when you consider that probably one of the greatest offenses of the Communist Chinese Party against the United States is the theft of our intellectual property. And one of the first actions President Biden took was he canceled the China Initiative, which was a Department of Justice program to investigate Chinese theft of intellectual property on university systems. Why would he do that? So that'd be my first suspected case. But you know, just in general, I think we may not know all of the details of the foreign financial entanglements, but I've always suspected the Chinese intelligence does, Russian intelligence does. I would say North Korean and Iranian intelligence does. So to what extent has that impacted President Biden's attitude and actions toward those adversaries as well? So and we'll never know. All we do know is that this was obvious access peddling, and Joe Biden was completely unfit for office. He's even more unfit now.
Yeah. And he was right in the middle of it. He was facilitating it just like you predicted and like you reported in 2020. It's just jaw-dropping to see how much they lied to win the election in 2020. Sir, I want to turn to another topic that you are such an important champion of. You have brought more transparency to what went on in the pandemic and specifically the COVID-19 vaccine and the concerns about safety and efficacy and side effects. We sued last week with the help of America First Legal. We're going to try to get that secret database, but this is an important moment. It seems like the American public are waking up to the reality that these vaccines weren't what they were advertised. Do you think the pressure is building for the government to be more transparent with its citizens?
Yeah, I sure hope so. And this is tied to the Hunter Biden corruption as well. You know, I always said that as troubling as the Biden family corruption was, more troubling was the corruption within federal law enforcement, Department of Justice, the FBI, our intelligence agencies. Look at the 51 intelligence officials that signed that letter. So when it comes to COVID, now we see the corruption, the capture by our federal health agencies who we rely on to provide good advice, to gather and then disseminate data transparently. And honestly, that didn't happen. So they've been captured by Big Pharma. Big Pharma has also captured the media and big media social giants. So we have seen this corruption, and the result, I would say, the loss of hundreds of thousands of lives as the COVID cartel, and that's I call the Biden administration, the federal health agencies, Big Pharma, the media and social media tech giants, that's the COVID cartel. They sabotaged early treatment. Made no sense. You know, why didn't we have an Operation Warp Speed on investigating generic drugs, other molecules to treat COVID? We put all our eggs in the vaccine basket only to find out that wasn't really a vaccine. That was a gene therapy injection. We touted the VAERS system, the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, prior to getting emergency use authorization, saying things like, oh, we're going to be watching this so close. If an American or somebody loses a couple days worth of lost time because of a vaccine injury, we're going to be calling them up. We're going to get to the bottom of that. That was total BS. They completely ignored it. They dismissed it. As soon as the injuries and deaths started rolling in, they started dissing. Denigrating their own VAERS system, and they do that to this day, saying, well, it doesn't really, you know, this bunch of crackpots could be loading that information. Really? Over 37,000 deaths reported worldwide associated with the COVID vaccine. 24.4% of those are occurring on the day of vaccination or within 1 or 2 days. The deaths per million doses, by the way, something like 25 people dead per million dose compared to the flu vaccine, 0.46 per million. Nothing to see here. No hot lots, even though there's a lot that I wrote about with over 5,000 adverse events compared to the biggest flu vaccine lot, 130, not deaths, adverse events, 137 adverse events with one flu vaccine lot. So yeah, it's just night and day difference, and our federal health agencies continue to ignore it all.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I would encourage our audience to go over to the senator's Twitter page because, sir, you posted a 14-minute clip that encompassed a lot of the important points from that four-hour roundtable. I wanted to ask you, though, because transparency with respect to the pandemic and our response is obviously important, but you mentioned the emergency use authorization and the protection that those big pharma companies experienced with these vaccines. Transparency is important, but I think the American people are looking for recompense. And you've got the civil case by Ken Paxton down in Texas against Pfizer with respect to the vaccine. You've also got, I think it was Chip Roy who introduced a bill to allow Americans to sue on grounds of some of these injuries that they experienced because of the vaccines. Do you see a future where emergency use authorization is limited and no longer includes such strong protections for these companies?
Well, I certainly hope we learn some lessons from this. I mean, the fact of the matter is the Vaccine Injury Compensation Fund has been a joke. It's almost impossible to claim it because you have the narrative from the federal health agencies and Big Pharma that vaccines are always safe and effective. We've gone from something like five doses, I think, of three different vaccines in the 60s to over 70 doses, I think, of 15 different types of vaccines. Now, every one of these vaccines impacts your immune system. We see a dramatic increase in chronic illnesses from the 30s and 40s, where it was about 6 or 7% of the population suffering from a chronic disease, to now 60%. What's causing that? You can't even ask the question. I mean, could it be the chemicals in our food? Could it be, could it be vaccines? You know, we never have tested the childhood vaccines against true placebos. We've never tested the multiple doses given in one administration, one injection. What could that do? I mean, every time you vaccinate somebody, you're impacting their immune system. Gee, what could go wrong? And one thing I have to point out, just common sense. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a medical researcher. But remember early in the pandemic when they're pushing the vaccine, Anthony Fauci was out there saying, well, we can't rely on natural immunity. We think the vaccine's far more effective. What do you think that vaccine or that gene therapy is relying on? I mean, the COVID vaccine doesn't provide the immunity itself. It's injected into your body. It forces your body to produce the spike protein, which, by the way, is toxic to the body. What could go wrong there? But it relies on the body's natural immunity to create antibodies to fight a potential future infection. Why would Anthony Fauci deny the fact that being exposed to the full virus wouldn't give you even better natural immunity? Again, you don't have to be a doctor of medical research. Just common sense tells you natural immunity would probably be a lot better than immunity produced by just a segment of the vaccine. And by the way, the part of the vaccine is probably more mutatable, which means you'd have to update a booster all the time because the old vaccine wasn't recognizing the new virus the spike protein is mutated into something else.
All right, folks, one more good one. Amber Duke, one of the great media critics in America, I think a really honest, fact-driven assessor of what's wrong with the legacy media today. She'll join us to go over some of the less stellar moments of the news media the last few weeks. That's going to be a fun conversation. All right, we'll be right back after these messages.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Welcome back, America. With so much breaking news today, I don't want to let an undercurrent story pass by. You know what's going on? The news media continues day in and day out to misreport the news, to hijack straight stories and turn them into screeds with a political twist. Our next guest, well, she has done better than anyone I know in highlighting the media's folly the last few years. What used to be a neutral media is now really a partisan crowd. Amber Duke, Washington editor for Spectator. She makes that point every day. It's mostly on her incredible podcast, Unfit to Print. She joins us right now. Amber, great to have you back on the show.
Thanks. It's good to be back.
All right. So I've got some of my favorites from watching the media, including my old employer, the AP. But you told me of a new one this morning related to the original news alerts that came out on the Supreme Court ruling. Could you walk us through that one?
Absolutely. I found the exact headline, so I'm going to read it here. It says Supreme Court restores Trump to ballot, rejecting state attempts to hold him accountable for attack on Capitol in 2021. It's just incredible framing. It's obviously runs counter to everything that we actually read in the Supreme Court's decision on Colorado trying to remove Trump from the ballot. All nine justices agreed that an individual state cannot remove a presidential candidate from the ballot. And then a five-justice majority went a step further and said that it takes an act of Congress through legislation in order to make the declaration that someone would be declared invalid to run for president under the insurrection clause in the 14th Amendment. So for the AP to turn around and say that the Supreme Court weighed in any way on the decision as to whether or not Trump was participating in insurrection just is so contrary to the facts.
That's a doozy.
Yeah. And Amber, it seems like with instances like this that cause certain people's heads to explode, that oftentimes there is a thin veil that is lifted. And what you find underneath is something that's very ugly. And I've seen a number of tweets from folks on the left who, out of the entire nine justice panel, are attacking Justice Clarence Thomas. Why would they single him out? Because that seems a little racist to me.
Yeah, it's a good point, and one that is definitely very consistent among the left and members of the media. I've noticed that same thing. And it's also interesting to watch them paint the SCOTUS justices with such a broad brush in terms of the 9-0 decision, because there are obviously still three progressive justices on the court. And the idea that Ketanji Brown Jackson or Sonia Sotomayor are behaving to uphold some legacy of white supremacy or systemic racism in the United States, which is what was suggested by left-wing commentator Ellie Mistal, is so laughably absurd. And remember, this is the same crowd as well that has been beating the drum of democracy is under attack for the past few years, ever since Trump made it clear that he was probably going to be running for a second term in office. Biden and his campaign have now picked that up. They decided to make the entirety of their campaign against Trump about protecting democracy or fighting back against authoritarianism. They've been warning that Trump's going to be a second term dictator when they're the ones now decrying the Supreme Court, giving the right back to the voters to decide who they want in office rather than some random judge in Colorado.
Yeah, so such an important point. There is a pressure system behind the White House that is gearing up. It was there all through 2020. Boy, if you dared to report about Hunter Biden 2020, you were a heretic in the liberal media. There's a new effort now, and it's even hitting the nerve of the White House Correspondents Association. But the pressure tactics, the letters, the threats, the condemnation, unlike any president I can remember, maybe Nixon had a little bit of this going on, but this seems to be the most aggressive president in modern history in terms of trying to intimidate reporters from reporting anything that they don't like.
Exactly. So this recently occurred when Ann Sams, who's a spokesperson for the White House, has been pressuring Fox News to retract its reporting on the claims made by Alexander Smirnoff, who was recently indicted for lying to the FBI because Fox News merely covered the accusations. And it would be a dereliction of duty for the media not to cover these, right? Because this was an individual who was deemed highly credible by the FBI itself in briefings to Republicans on the oversight and judiciary committees. They paid him six figures for his information and relied on him for a number of years. So the question is not, you know, whether or not the media should have been covering this or whether or not Republicans should have investigated it, which the answer to both is yes, they should have. But why the FBI didn't determine years ago that this guy was not a credible source and why they were using his information if he could so easily lie to them about these claims about the Bidens receiving bribery. Now, Ian Sands, this is not the first time he has done this to reporters. He previously was the person who, in response to Robert Herr's report on Joe Biden's mishandling of classified documents, lied and claimed that the media was misreporting when they said that the report found that Biden had willfully mishandled them and willfully retained classified documents, which the report says, I'm pretty sure, on the second page. So this was not media misreporting, not to mention the fact that it's been reported that the Biden campaign has been having reporters to their campaign headquarters in Delaware over the past few months in order to specifically tell them what they've been getting wrong about Biden and the Biden administration. Apparently, the New York Times, by the way, was the only media outlet that did not take kindly to this, and the meetings supposedly did not end well.
How about that?
Amber, I feel like you are the perfect person to ask about this because Joe Biden has fewer advocates in the media as of recently. The landscape of media has changed drastically in the last 5 or 10 years, and you've got some of these institutions, these journalist institutions that are failing. And Vice News has effectively folded. LA Times, right up the road from me, fired a good portion of their workforce here in Los Angeles, including their election unit in an election year. Got Washington Post, the list goes on and on and on of these layoffs in the media industry. What does it say about what has led to this? And what does it say about the future of media?
There's two fundamental problems here, I think. The first is that we have a trust problem when it comes to media. The American people simply don't trust the mainstream media, the corporate media anymore because they've been lied to so many times. And it's lies that are completely evident to anyone with a bit of common sense. And then the second problem is a competition problem. All of these outlets that you've named, as well as some of the other ones that have been laying off journalists, are all on the same side of the aisle. And they all really report on the same things from the same point of view. So why would one person subscribe to 5 or 6 of these outlets when they can get the same information from just one of them? It's really a problem of repetition in terms of what these papers are covering. They're doing nothing to separate themselves out from the pack. So I think that's why you see a lot of these companies now laying off reporters. They also over-indexed on all of these fake beats like the social justice beat or election integrity or democracy. All of these new made-up terms that they've come up with in the past 4 or 5 years, really since Trump got into office. So in that case, I guess more like 7 or 8 years ago. But they've made up these new beats where they can basically justify paying a activist straight out of college to advance left-wing narratives, and it's not a real journalistic position. So a lot of the people that are getting laid off are the people on those specific beats.
All right, folks, that wraps up the Thursday edition of John Solomon Reports, the podcast from Just the News. Extremely excited to have on the show today Mark Paoletta, Ron Johnson, Amber Duke, and some really great conversation. A lot of food for thought today. Also, speaking of food, if you want to lose a little bit of weight, go to takelean.com. Try the Lean product from my good friends at Brickhouse Nutrition, the same folks that made that great product I rave about, Field of Greens. They've got a new offer. You go to takelean.com, take, L-E-A-N, lean.com. Put in Just News 15 at checkout to get 15% off. Helps you a little bit with your efforts to get lean and get your body in better shape. All right, that wraps it up. We'll be back tomorrow with another edition of John Solomon Reports, the podcast from Just the News. At Just the News, we break the stories others in the media ignore or are too afraid to tell. We did it on Russia collusion, Hunter Biden, and the security and intelligence failures that preceded January 6th. Our stories have real impact and reach because we stick to the facts. I'm John Solomon. You can help me expand our honest, unvarnished, and unbiased reporting by becoming a premium member at Just the News. You'll get an ad-free experience and exclusive member-only access to events, and you'll be helping us dig up more truth. Join today at justthenews.com/subscribe.